If your desire is to become spiritually stronger, emotionally healthier, and relationally smarter, you're at the right place. Speaker and writer Stephanie Smith inspires and equips you to achieve these three key aims. If you're a parent, you also learn how to raise empowered kids ready for adulthood. Let's get started.
Welcome back to the Life's Key 3 podcast. If you are new around here and you're like, what in the world is this whole Life's Key 3 thing? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Here it is. It is to be spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart. Last week, we started a conversation with Ruthie Gray. She is the author of the book, Empty Nest Awakening. And she also leads retreats, and she is a business entrepreneur. And Ruthie speaks to not just moms in those empty nest years, although that's kind of her primary market. She really also speaks to and helps women to be able to find out what are their passions and then what can they do with those. The subtitle of her book, Empty Nest Awakening, I really like. It's Weaving the Threads of Your Passions into Purpose. You know, purpose doesn't just fall into our laps. We have to be intentional to create that in our lives. So we're going to pick up and we're going to continue the conversation today with Ruthie Gray. And I invite you to listen in and then to make sure to visit her website. Order that book. And if you're like, I am not in that season of life, I mean, I am years away from that season in life, I bet you know somebody in your community who is going to be headed into that season in the next few years or is in that season right now. And that can be a great gift for them as well. All right, let's jump in and continue the conversation with Ruthie Gray. I'm wondering also, you know, Ruthie, how did you find the people who were in your life when you were in that season of saying, you know, you're looking out the window going, what is the meaning of life and what am I going to do now? I totally get that. The people who were in your circle, who weren't in that life stage, what did you find, how prepared were they to be able to help you navigate that? Or did you find that you really needed other people, other moms who had been in that or were walking through that life season with you to really understand what it's like? Because basically as a mom, you just get fired. Yeah. I mean, your last kid hits a certain age. There's no tapering off. There's no going part-time. It's like you are going full steam ahead. And anybody who's ever had a senior, you know, knows that, right? You're going full steam ahead and then whoosh, you're done and you don't get a say in it. What would you say to moms who are in or near this season who may not, you know, they may be relying on a husband or even their adult kids or whatever, and maybe they aren't really going to be able to give the best kind of support because they don't really understand what that's like. Any advice or counsel for those moms?
I looked for the moms who'd been there already, who'd been through this already, and I hung on their every word. The ones that were the wise ones that I knew in my church or in my community, I just sort of picked their brain and they would pour into me. This is what I recommend for anything at any, whatever stage you're at as a mom, find an older mom that's wiser, that's been there and listen to her. And what they had to say to me helped me so much to move through that stage and work through it. And to move on, I just needed to know that what I was feeling was normal and that I would make it and it was going to be okay.
Okay. And so you are now in a position to be able to help share with with other moms who are coming into this or going through this age. So what are some of the tips that you would have for the mom who is in this empty nest season and who is the equivalent of looking out the window and think, now what?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've already talked about the first two things. Start journaling and also tap into things that you think you might want to do or you used to do. Try to revisit hobbies. Tap into community. Search God's word and just spend some time in knee prayer. I did that a lot. I did a lot of physical posturing and just listening to. I even made a prayer journal. And so I had people to pray for every single day. It was written down. Then on Saturdays were, what were Saturdays? I think Saturdays were just thankful day, you know? Uh-huh. And so that really helped me, but I also developed a whole new appreciation for prayer in that it wasn't me asking God for everything, but it was also me sitting in silence and just listening to him, what he had for me. And I just think we underestimate the power of prayer. I think it's really important to do that. And then also, and I talk about this in the book, is just look at some of your strengths and weaknesses, some of your learned skills, and your inherent traits, things that you're good at. I made a whole list in the book of mine and of my background. Think about how you grew up and things that you do just naturally that other people look at you like, how did you do that? Things that you enjoy. And you could make a whole list in the book. You can look at my list, and then it's got questions for you for your list to weave the threads of your passions into purpose. And you know, the readers that have gone through this, by the end they know their next step. And so it doesn't have to be a whole bunch of steps. You can just know your very next step and be encouraged that God has a plan for you.
Exactly. And you do that beautifully in the book. And I mean that sincerely. So listeners, wherever you are, there is value in this because throughout this book, Ruthie does a fabulous job of sharing her own life story, but she also makes that applicable to what you can do with that. It's not just like, well, here's my story. Isn't that fascinating? It's like, no, here's my story. And here's how you can use my story and my experiences to write your own, you know, to craft your own purpose, to find that. And so she breaks some things down in a way that they're tangible, they're measurable, they're doable, and they're not overwhelming. It's not like, okay, I'm going to have to spend 6 months, 8 hours every day walking through this book. It's not like that, but it's also more than just, oh, think about your strengths and then decide what you want to go do with those. I mean, you take people through, I think you're very strategic in how you take people through those steps. So when they do come away with at the end of that process, they may not know what they're going to be doing for the next 30 years, but they definitely have a direction. And here's what I can at least, do next. So you have definitely found meaning and purpose and helping other people to find theirs. So how do you balance this now? So, you know, as you were talking about earlier, when you think that when you're a younger mom, you think you're going to have all this time when you get older, and then you think, okay, I'm not going to have to learn how to balance all these things, and you find out, no, you just learn to balance different things. and truthfully, a lot of times things that you have a lot of responsibility for and very little control over. And that carries with it a weight of its own. So I understand the frustration and the responsibility that comes with younger kids, but sometimes you do end up with more that you can control or influence. And that kind of flips, you know, when you get into this season of life. So what are some of the rhythms and balance, you know, things that you've learned to create balance in your life and the rhythms that you may have that allow you to keep pursuing your passion?
That is a great question. You have to constantly bring your schedule and your plan to the Lord every single day, no matter what stage of life you're in, and hold it with open hands. Something that I've learned to do in this stage is pray my list. I make a list the night before, and then the next morning I look at it after my quiet time, and I pray over it. I'm like, Lord, this is what I hope to do. Please help me to accomplish what's on your list and not just my agenda. When we are surrounded by our people, or we have people that need us, that's the most important thing, is to serve our people well and to serve the people that God has for us to serve well. I will say that in this stage, as you're trying to pursue your passion, whatever it may be, or trying to find it, it's not actually about you. That those passions are given to you from God. They're desires, but they're not just for you. It's not just about you. If God is calling you to something, He's calling you to someone. So I want to encourage you out there to, yes, pray over your list, but yet not feel guilty if you feel led to write or podcast or start the knitting club, because God is going to use you to bless others and encourage others with your unique spiritual gifts. He's using your desires for others. So basically, to answer your question, is plan, but hold it loosely, because God has other plans.
And you know, that's just a practice that someone can apply at any point in their life. And that is, you have a plan, so you're not waking up every day going, I had no idea, right? Because that didn't turn out too well, you know, in any stage of life. But having that plan, but holding it loosely, so you have enough of a plan to give you some direction and some focus, so life isn't, or Instagram doesn't consume you, you know, you start all the doom scrolling or that kind of a thing. But also being able to say, God, life's going to happen. And interruptions actually become a lot of times more life, you know, and we can choose how we are going to respond to this. So I love that that's a practice that someone can start wherever they are. And that's a practice that they can continue into these empty nest years. You've talked about community. You've talked about also seeking out how you made it a practice. And so here again, listeners, I just want to point this out. You know, one of the things that Ruthie's mentioned here is not only in this season of life, but throughout life, being able to seek out other people that had gone before her and to be able to say, what can I learn from this person? And being intentional about doing that. And I just also want to say, you know, sometimes it can be kind of scary when you're a younger mom, you still got kids, or you've got kids who are teenagers or whatever. And you don't have to think, I'm entering into a lifelong contract with this person. I can invite somebody over for a meal. I can meet them at the park. I can sit down with them one time and just pick their brain and ask them some questions, because there might be one thing that they say to you that is going to get you through your season or give you something that you're going to tuck away and you're going to need later in life. So don't be afraid to just say, hey, you know, could I'd love to be able to just, you know, talk to you. You've got kids that are a little older than mine, and I just love to be able to pick your brain. You don't have to take what everybody says as gospel truth, but just making that a practice, you know, throughout your life. So Ruthie, who has been your biggest role model in this season of your life, this empty nest season of your life?
I'd say It's a mom that was in our church. She had three daughters, and she always just walked in grace and truth, but practically, like, she was always seeking ways to help people. And so when I would talk to her, she would just give me these nuggets of wisdom just a little at a time, but then she would listen to me. And so that's the other thing that you want to be looking for, is someone that's going to listen. That's one of the best ways of being a coach, is, you know, finding a good coach is somebody that's going to listen to you and your hopes and aspirations and your struggles, and then kind of ask guiding questions. And so that's kind of what she did for me. And she's still someone that I very much admire, because she's gone on to, she's been very invested in her grandkids. And one of her daughters, her husband, they had four kids, tragically died. He was a logger. And this mom has just come in there and just really cheered her daughter on. And she's helped her in her grief, and she's helped her kids. And I think just the example that you never lose sight of your family, because you can go and help others and you can go and help the world, but never, ever put your family on the back burner. Always seek to let them know that they are your priority still, no matter what ministry you're in or what you do, because you don't want to lose them in the process, and you don't want them to be turned off by the Lord's work in any way. That's the most important thing.
Right. I love, you know, and again, going back to that balance and having those rhythms and having that plan, but holding it loosely. So, thank you for sharing that. And one of the things, if you are a mom who is, you don't have to be in this empty nest season. Maybe you're a mom of middle schoolers or teens, and there's a mom who still has kids that are preschoolers and in that stage who ask you questions. If you listen to what Ruthie said about this role model in her life, this was a person who listened and then asked guiding questions. This wasn't somebody who came in and said, all right, let me tell you how you need to run your life, right? And sometimes I think we can be afraid to ask someone who's beyond us in a stage of life for input, because we don't want to feel like they're just going to come in and tell us everything we're doing wrong and how we need to, you know, do things the way they did, because there are things that change. But the power of listening to someone, and then the power of asking questions. You don't have to have all the answers for someone in order to have a strong, meaningful impact in them. Sometimes we just don't have answers. And if we think that we do have all of them, we're probably not the person that needs to be talking anyway. You know? But someone who can listen and then ask those questions, that's very, very powerful. And so that's a good message and a good practice for all of us. It doesn't matter what season of life we're in. And that's a skill that if we cultivate when we're younger, then that carries us into this and, you know, and through this season of life. So thank you for sharing about that. So again, Ruthie, your book is fantastic. And it's not just, I just want to emphasize this again. This is not just for moms whose kids are all grown up. There's power in this book for a mom who still has kids at home, because there are things in two ways. One is it can begin you thinking and in preparing for this stage of life, even if you're like, I can't even imagine that's ever going to come. It will, trust me, probably sooner than you think it will. And then secondly, there are processes and practices that somebody can begin to apply now in their life that can make that transition far easier, because it doesn't have to be this cute. It's going to be a big change, but it doesn't have to like totally undo your world. You don't have to fall apart and then put it all back together again when you make this transition. So tell, how can listeners connect with you? How can they get your book? Tell us about your services and just all things Ruthie Gray. We want to know everything about how people can connect with you and all the ways in which you serve.
Well, probably a good starting point would be to go to my website. And I will say that one of my young friends who is a podcast coach read the book and she's like, this is not just for empty desks. There's no way. This is great. So there's that. There's the podcast. There is our retreat that we do once a year now for empty nesters. And we have a few other things on there. We're kind of in a little bit of a pivot. Just listen to the podcast and get on the newsletter.
There you go. There you go. And you still have a blog that and it's mm-hmm. it's an older blog, but it still has great material on there for moms who are still, you know, in the trenches, you know, raising their kids.
It's still very relevant. People find me all the time, especially on Pinterest. And you'll see all kinds of parenting articles from how to potty train little kids, little ones, to raising a strong-willed child, because I had a couple of those. And then, you know, on to like when you're reflecting on empty nest and I should have done this and I should have done that. Stop shoulding, you know, all of that stuff. It's taught leave the regrets behind. There's so many things there, things on Bible study for young moms. It's a plethora.
Okay. So listeners, y'all just got handed the keys to a treasure trove. I'm hoping that you got that. We will have all of those links and in the show notes. So you can find those. You can go to the show notes and have all those links. If you're in a place where you're listening to this right now and you're like, I absolutely cannot write that down or hop online at the moment, just go back to the show notes and we will have all of that.
Last minute encouragement here, a piece of advice. Once you tap into your passion and you see kind of where you want to go, just don't get so caught up into all of the trying to make up your mind about so many things and doing too many tasks that you think might be necessary to that thing, because God isn't calling us to be like all over the map and stressed out more. That's not what he wants. So say your best yes. There's a chapter in there. I think it's say your best yes or how to determine your best yes, but it's important that you learn to say no so that you can, that's it. Say no so you can say your best yes. That's it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, again, that's another one of those practices. It doesn't just show up in these empty nest years. Learning to say no throughout life so that what you can say yes to is best is a practice that serves everybody well. So Ruthie, thank you so much for being here today. And listeners, I know that whatever stage of parenting that you're in, or maybe you're not a parent, maybe you're a caregiver, maybe you're a grandparent. I know plenty of people in this position who are grandparents who are raising their grandkids. Life has handed that responsibility to them, and that's something as well. So you might be going through this stage of raising children again that you never thought that you would be in. But there's just a treasure trove here, and we'll have all those links in the show notes. And one of the reasons to be strategic about your passion and your purpose and seeing that as a way that God has equipped you to bring him glory and delight as you live out your passions and your purpose is also then to help others around you. And the reason that that's important is because, you know, I say this at the close of every episode, and it's absolutely true. You have an impact that is immeasurable, eternal, and irreplaceable. See you next time.
Thank you for listening. visit the website stephaniepresents.com and sign up for High Impact to join the mission of building spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart women and families. You can also book Stephanie to speak at your event and check out additional resources. Together, we can invite and equip generations to engage fully in God's grand story.